Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome everyone to worship, and good to have you here. Just saw Miss Kitty walk in. The update on Walt, he's off the ventilator in a regular room, and he had a popsicle yesterday. So, yeah, we're very... Long way to go, but we're so thankful they answered prayers. Want to thank everybody who helped participate in decorating the church. Really appreciate that. Also, if you weren't here Thanksgiving or didn't watch it live stream, we did the story of a church pew. Gary Priscorn was the voice of the pew. But encourage you to grab a little pew there around the building on your way out. And if you didn't watch it, watch it. There's no sermon. That's the good news. It's just the story of a church pew. Also, the Redeemer mask are at the exits also. Angel tree. The angel tree, there's a number of tags still out just because we're not having as much many people in the building, but that goes to help people in need at Grace Centers of Hope. Ingathering of toys is happening, but we're going to do it December 1st through the 14th. There'll be a green box in the town square. Just put your toy in there. Camp Restore, December 4th, they're doing a virtual celebration and fundraiser, and you could just watch it to learn a little more about what Redeemer is doing there. Living Nativity is December 13th from 2 to 4. You'll walk around the church grounds, the stations of the Nativity. We'll probably also have an opportunity to do a drive-through, so if you have a challenge walking, you could drive through it. Also, Advent by Candlelight, December 8th at 7:30, it's being live streamed. And we would really like to get some photos so we can put a video together, photos of tables that you have decorated in the past. We need that to Rose in the front office by December 6th by noon. Also, Christmas Eve, don't forget we're having extra services on the 23rd, 6 and 8 o'clock. On Christmas Eve, 10, 1, 3, 5:30, 8, and 10. Please sign up as soon as possible so we know if we should add more services or subtract any of those. Also, we need a St. Lucia girl for all those services. If you have a little girl that would like to be St. Lucia, just call the church office. And I would ask Andy Fair, our head elder, to come forward and make an announcement.
And sisters in Christ and Redeemer members, I'm here today on behalf of the Board of Elders to inform you that Pastor Walworth has received a call from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Dearborn, Michigan. As Pastor Walworth and his family prayerfully deliberate this call and the future of his ministry, the Board of Elders asks that we keep him and his family in our prayers as they consider this decision. We will keep you informed of Pastor Walworth's decision. God's blessings on Pastor Walworth. Thank you.
We rise for opening hymn.
The Bethlehem candle
urges us to the place where the promised one was born. Let us go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. It reminds us of the promise which he brought with him to that place. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. The light of this candle acknowledges the purpose of his advent, for the Lord has raised a horn of salvation for us to guide our feet unto the way of peace. Because of his coming, we who greet him in Bethlehem can join with the heavenly host in proclaiming. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 33. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Here ends the Old Testament reading. The epistle reading is from Galatians chapter 4. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is under age, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were under age, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Here ends the epistle reading.
Thank you. His name is called Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Here ends the Holy Gospel.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come to thee.
grace, mercy, and peace be on you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So I asked Jim Greenwald, because he golfs, to bring in 10 golf balls, but I said, I want one different. And of course, the one he gives me, he had personalized. It says, Vicar Jimmy. A man in such need of attention, I'm telling you. Well, anyways, this would be 10 golf balls in this bag. And if I mix them up, the chance of me pulling that one out is 1 in 10, right? It didn't happen. 1 in 10, I think that was the statistic when it came to getting the Christmas gifts I asked for, okay? It's this time of year as a kid, and it was so exciting around Advent, watching the candles be lit. You count down the Sundays to Christmas Eve. And it was so exciting, you know, to drop the hints to mom and dad of what you wanted and tell Santa. But so often, I'd get a version of something I wanted, but it had to be less expensive, okay? My dad was cheap. That's how you say it. So I wanted Lincoln Logs. What do I get? Tinker Toys. My friend Chipper had this cool plane that flew around in a circle, and I wanted that so bad. And of course, I asked, you know, for it, and you know what? I didn't get it. I got something from Mattel. It was called the Vertibird, and it was a helicopter. It's not what I asked for, but I have to tell you, it was one of my best gifts ever. No, you know, you look back at this time of the year, and you're thankful for, you know, all the things my parents did for me, all the wonderful memories and the gifts. It's a wonderful time. And, you know, we try to recreate that now, even in the midst of COVID. It's a time that we've begun our journey to Bethlehem once again. It's an exciting time as we come to celebrate the birth of Jesus. You know, as you look at Scripture, the Bible, it was written over a 1,500-year period. 40 different writers on 3 different continents, and that scripture fits together so well. It's amazing. Even if you just look at the Old Testament, that was 1,200 years of history. You look at what is written there, and it's amazing how many prophecies there are about Jesus Christ and how Jesus fulfilled those prophecies. Jesus would say in John 5:39, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. In Luke 24, following his resurrection, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scripture concerning himself. You can go to the Old Testament, and you'll find prophecy after prophecy about Jesus. Being born in Bethlehem, this is written 700 years before Jesus came into the world. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. In Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who is born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for that is what the prophet has written. Right there, they knew where the Messiah was going to enter the world. Even John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for Jesus' ministry, he has prophesied about in Malachi 3:1, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In Matthew chapter 3, it says, in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Then this is he who was spoken about through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Even the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem for the final time in Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 6, the disciples went as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. The betrayal of Jesus is foreshadowed in Zechariah 13, verse 6. If someone asks, what are these wounds on your body? They will answer, the wounds I was given at the house of my friends. Psalm 41, 9. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. In Matthew 26, we read, going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, do what you came for, friend. Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. The 30 pieces of silver that was paid Judas to betray Christ. In Zechariah 11, I told them, if you think it best, give me my pay, but if not, keep it. So they paid me 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they valued me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter and at the house of the Lord. In Matthew 26, it says, Judas, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you? So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. After the crucifixion, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, but they wouldn't take it. So he threw it. He's throwing it in the temple. In Matthew 27, so Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, it is against the law to put this into the treasury, since it is blood money. So they decided to use the money to buy a potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. There you have the potter's field mentioned. There you have the money being thrown in the temple and the 30 pieces of silver all spoken about. The suffering of the Messiah, Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as the sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In Matthew 27, verse 12, when he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Now here's a psalm written 1,000 years before Christ. And this is 800 years before the Romans would use crucifixion as capital punishment. Psalm 22:16. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. They pierce my hands and my feet. Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Isaiah 53:12, therefore I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Luke 23, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with two criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. John 20, verse 25. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord, but he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. All those prophecies, and it's amazing how Jesus fulfilled them. I know we just did a lot of reading of Scripture, but understanding the prophecies and how Jesus fulfilled them. And we really only did 8 prophecies. Now, what would be the mathematical probability that somebody would fulfill just 8 of the prophecies? There's over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus that he fulfilled. But what is the probability of just 8? Dr. Peter Stoner, in the 1960s, a university professor, wanted to figure out the mathematical probability of just the 8 prophecies we heard. He employed over 600 university students in this study. And they determined just in order to fulfill 8 prophecies, it would be 1 to the 10 to the 17th power. It's on the front cover of your bulletin. It's a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. Now, what does that look like? The 1 in 10 with the bag was easy, wasn't it? Well, what does that look like? 1 to the 10 to the 17th power. If you were to take silver dollars, that many of them, and just mark one of them, and where would you put them? Well, let's say we dump them in Texas. That's a lot of silver dollars. We dump them in Texas. It would cover all of Texas 2 feet high. And then we take a person and blindfold that person and tell them to walk through Texas, and when they feel it's the right time to bend down and pick up a coin, what are the chances of them picking up the coin we have marked? 1 to the 10 to the 17th power. That's amazing. And Jesus, think about it, fulfilled over 300 prophecies. Did he fulfill them all? No. Not yet. His first coming is a reminder there's a second coming. There is a second coming of Jesus Christ to judge the quick, the living, and the dead. Now think about it. God sent his Son for grace, for mercy, for forgiveness. Jesus, this babe, was born to die, to go to the cross. That was the prophecy. By his wounds we are healed. You know, it's Christmas. It's Christmas season. I know it's Advent, but we're celebrating Christmas. You know, when I was at the SEM, first congregation I served, they taught us at the SEM, during Advent, you don't sing Christmas hymns, you sing Advent hymns. And then at Christmas, and during that Christmas season, you sing Christmas hymns. Now, that was tradition. Even growing up in the house I grew up in, Santa came and set up our tree, but always on Christmas Eve. The old German tradition that really follows the church calendar, you don't celebrate Christmas till it's Christmas, not during Advent. Well, you could guess those people at St. John's belly ached and complained, why can't we sing some Christmas hymns? And I finally gave in. To tell you the truth, I was much happier singing Christmas hymns. They're beautiful and wonderful. The world is celebrating Christmas. This is our season. This is our celebration. And this is the best opportunity and excuse we have to share the faith. They don't know why they're celebrating, but we do. We do. We know we're broken people. You know, we could go through the commandments day after day. I don't think, you know, if we know deep down we're broken and sinners. God takes sin seriously. That's what the cross is all about. Instead of punishing us for what we've done wrong, God punishes his Son, for God is love. Now think of the world. They may not acknowledge sin, but deep down, I think almost every person knows something is wrong. Something isn't right in this world, especially with the virus. What an opportunity for us to share that message of life and salvation. To go into this world with love, humility, and gentleness, and proclaim the one that was born to die for us and for them. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise for prayer.
On behalf of me and my family, we will appreciate your prayers as we consider this call. We, of course, love being among you, and now our dear Lord has saw fit to give us an option to serve another congregation. So please continue to give us your wisdom and continue to pray for us. We lift up our souls to you, O Lord. Make us to know your ways and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. O Holy Father, we humbly implore you, help us believe your promises. As your servant Israel anticipated the coming of the Messiah, the Deliverer, help us to recognize Jesus Christ as that Messiah and welcome him into our hearts by faith. Grant your abiding peace to all who are gathered in your house today. To those among us who are afflicted, grant them strength to bear their burdens. Give us all patience to await the joy of your abiding presence. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for your strength and encouragement for the family and friends of Dick Gause, who at this time are mourning his death. We know that you overcame death through the cross, and therefore Dick is not dead but alive with you. And yet, while we are here in this valley of tears, help them in their time of grief. Give them this comfort and hope always. For all who face health concerns, who are sick, and who are dying, we ask that you would comfort them as Christ did, who walked among us as the true light. Grant them first that their faith may be strengthened, that they may rely on you, and that whatever may come, they know that you have already solved all of these in your Son, Jesus Christ, who took on him our diseases and afflictions. We also ask for strength for their families, that their families may serve these we bring before you with confidence that you are continuing to care for them, and also give the doctors the skills they need that they might bring swift healing, even now in our time. We bring before you Leslie Shim, Ray Dobring, Dan Hogan, Walt Schweitzer, Pat and Jean Browning, Ingrid Becker, Dick Dahl, Laura, Karen, Russ, Nikki, and Joseph Gill, William Kauger, Diane Orvec, Suzanne and Shelley Stock, Cheryl Olds, Rudy Becker, Alberta Schmidt, Betty Owens, Penny Coville, Herb and Charlene, Sharon Frey, Chris Decker, Kurt Young, Bruce Landino, Kathleen Simpson, Dean Baker, Margot Gray, Vi Streck, Helen Hoytacki, and all who continue to suffer from the coronavirus. We ask that you would heal them, give them comfort, and for all healthcare workers who continue to work in these trying times, grant them protection. Dear Lord, we pray as you have taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. Amen.